Springbok Radio proudly presents Tales from the Seven Seas. Stories specially written for this series by Annette McKenzie and Jack Mullen, and introduced by Hamish McLeod.
In the year 1732, the Dark Melissa, under the command of Captain John Cunningham, put out from Boston on her homeward journey to Portsmouth. It was to be an eventful voyage for all on board, and particularly for two of the ship's complement, the first and second mates, Rob Tatham and Ben Whitelaw. I've called my story Neptune's Kingdom.
I don't like the look of this weather, Rob. If I'm reading the signs correctly, we're in for a storm.
I've never known you to be wrong when it comes to predicting weather, Captain Cunningham.
Captain Cunningham, sir.
What is it, Ben?
Oh, it's Simpson, sir. From the time we left Boston, he's been complaining of aches and pains and such like. But he's never been one to overwork himself, if I can avoid it. So no one took much notice, me least of all. But he's collapsed on deck about 10 minutes ago.
Oh?
They took him down below. I've just come from there. He's out of his senses, raving and sweating like a pig.
Oh.
I'm afraid we're fever aboard, Captain.
Fever aboard and a storm coming up. Well, first things first. We'll prepare ourselves for the storm, then we'll see just how bad the case of fever is.
How long can it go on like this? It's been blowing for hours.
And taking us with it.
How far across do you think we are?
Very far. Well, there's no real way of telling till this lets up. Just pray that the ship stands up to it.
I have been since the gale broke, and there's been no real damage, despite the pounding we're taking.
Don't tempt Providence.
Yet no one saved with no noise.
And it's more horrifying than all the stories. Covered with weed. So densely that it looks solid enough to bear a man's weight.
Look at these plants. Growing high and bearing fruit like unripe grapes. The devil's crop, Rob.
Miles and miles of it. As far as the eye can see. Thick weed holds the ship fast. And it is holding us fast, Ben.
They say the Sargasso is where all the wrecks collect. Wrecked ships from all over the world. And now we're here.
I knew we'd been blown, of course. Far, of course. But who would believe that we'd been blown into this?
Aye.
Ben.
Captain.
Yes, sir?
We've troubles ahead. The storm is only the beginning. Two more men down with fever.
Oh.
And we'll be calm here, not a breath of wind.
Why, if there was a wind, Captain, would it be any use to us? The weeds are holding us fast.
Now, that may be so, but a good wind could blow us free. Now, there's many a ship has sailed through the Sargasso and reached its home port. How else would we know about it if not by the stories that sailors have brought back with them? Oh, it's a dismal place, I grant you. We must keep our spirits up and show a good example to the men. I'm depending on you both.
Aye, sir. Aye, Captain.
The fierce storm had blown the Melissa so far off course that when the wind finally died down, she lay in the Sargasso Sea. Now, the Sargasso is a region of the North Atlantic and is the world's most northerly extension of the tropic zone. It takes up approximately 2 million square miles, and much of the surface is covered with gulfweed, in some places so thick as to impede navigation. But the various species of weeds growing there did not bind the vessel fast, as sailors in days gone by once believed. It was simply that the ship was in the doldrums. There was no wind to fill the sails. And in those days, there were no engines to fall back on. To be becalmed was always a serious matter. To be becalmed in the Sargasso was an eerie and frightening experience. It's no wonder that strange stories grew up around this particular stretch of water. like the seal that all the ships wrecked in the world collected there. It was easy to believe if your ship was stuck in this great desert of the ocean. For in a way, it is a kind of desert. Plankton is very scarce there, and where you find very little plankton, you'll find very few fish. On board the Melissa, the atmosphere was brooding and fearful. For not only were they becalmed in the middle of the dreaded Sargasso, but there was fever aboard. And the fever was spreading.
Another three men down with fever, sir.
Aye. All we need is a fresh wind to blow through the ship and clear the pestilence from
it. Aye, a fresh wind to take us out of here. That's what we're all praying for.
The sails are set to catch the faintest breeze. We can only go on praying, but we may have to wait a while. And we must prepare ourselves for that wait. It's time to start conserving food and water. We must begin to ration it.
But the men with fever, sir, they have an unquenchable thirst.
I thought of that. They'll have double rations, and no one can complain about that because the sick are eating very little, so it evens itself out.
Captain!
Yeah, what is it, Ben?
Here, Captain, look over here.
Huh?
What have you found, Ben?
Well, they said this was the place that all the rest come to. And there's part of one out there.
He's right, Captain. There's a ship's timber almost hidden by the weeds.
It's carved, see? I don't know how we missed seeing it before.
Because we weren't looking for it. Ships are wrecked in every ocean in the world, and many have been wrecked here, I dare say. But that nonsense of all the wrecks coming together in one place is just another sea yard.
Maybe it is, and maybe it ain't. Who would have believed there could be a place like the Sargasso? I didn't. I laughed at the stories, but it's worse than any description I've ever heard. So why shouldn't the other be true?
Hey, take a hold on your imagination, Ben. Just try and count up all the ships that have gone down since the world began. Vast as this ocean is, you still wouldn't have enough room for them all. And how would they get here, eh? Answer me that. How could a ship that went down in the Pacific, for example, how could it make its way here?
How could there be a sea like this one, looking like a marshland, tempting a man to walk on it?
And what sort of talk is that? The captain's right. You've got to take hold of your imagination. Don't go painting things blacker than they are.
But we don't know what's out there, do we? I can feel it. It's evil, I tell you.
Then why should you be tempted to go walking to meet it?
Oh, to get it over with. To get it over with and be done with the waiting. Oh, to be done with
the waiting. It's not the fear he's shaking with, his fever. Another one's caught the fever.
No.
Well, that's where all this wild talk's coming from. Take him below, Rob.
What was that?
It's Pearson. He has an axe in his hand. He's running amok.
You'll be sorry, you gentleman prisoner. Yes, now, Jack.
What?
Hold me. I'll tell you, I'll chop it to bits, and I'll burn your prison ship.
Okay, Rob, take it from the left. Take it from the right. Now! I don't know where he's got the strength from.
Ben, take the axe from me. Take the axe.
Oh, you've got it.
Get some rope. We have to tie him up.
I'll chop him to bits, you hear me?
Who do you think he's fighting?
Oh, it's a fever talking, not simple.
He's rope.
Good. Get around his ankles, Ben, and then we'll get him below.
Simpson, the first member of the Melissa's crew to go down with fever, had run wild around the ship in a delirium close to madness. And it was fortunate that he had not found the opportunity to use the axe which he carried. But the incident added to the tension and fear which had permeated the vessel. And still the fever spread. And still the ship remained becalmed.
Your water, right, Ben?
Oh, I'm dying of thirst.
There you are. Why don't you go below, Ben?
Oh, no. I'd rather lie up here where I can see. Oh, how's Simpson?
Delirious most of the time. He hasn't tried to run amok again. It was a good thing you were still on your feet when he did. He had strength enough for 10. We'd never have got that axe away from him. Just hold him no more. It was a relief when you took the axe from him, I can tell you.
Oh, I'm so thirsty. I'm dying of thirst. Did I finish my ration? Did I drink it hot?
Oh, there's some more here.
Oh. How are you, Ben?
Oh, it's thirsty, Captain. Thirsty.
You've just given him his water ration, Captain.
And you're on with it. I saw you. I want to talk to you about that, Rob. I think we ought to get Ben below.
Well, you want to stay on deck?
I don't suppose it makes much difference. Three of the others share his preference. They're lying amidships.
Water. Water.
Come on, Rob. I want to talk to you.
But, Captain...
I said I want to talk to you, so come on, Mr. Tatham, and that's an order.
Aye, aye, sir.
Food, water's rationed, so everyone gets his fair share.
But the water ration isn't enough for the sick. At the beginning, they were supposed to get double. You said that was fair because they were eating so little. Now you cut it, and you're dying of thirst.
No one's died of thirst yet. Maybe that's the fate in store for us. If the wind doesn't come up soon. But we have to try and hang on for as long as possible. And I had to make it equal shares, Rob. Now, I could double the ration for the sick when there were only a few of them. But now, there are only five of us who haven't succumbed to the fever. Five of us out of the entire ship's crew. Now, without us, there's no chance for anyone. If the wind comes up, we have to be capable of sailing the ship, Rob. And you won't be any help at all if you go on giving Ben your water ration.
But I can't face it when he calls for water and there's none to give him.
No amount of water can slake his thirst. As he drinks it, the fever burns it up and he's as thirsty as ever. It's the same with all of them. I'm not being hard-hearted, but I have to think of the ship as a whole. With the water, it's fair shares for all. And you'll drink your share because you're still healthy and you're needed. You understand me?
Yes, sir. I understand. It's gone down with it now. It's the last one, sir. Now there's only you and me left.
Yes. Yes, yes, you and me. You and me. And the Sargasso.
Captain, are you right?
Now maybe the stories are true after all. Vile things growing as far as the eye can see. Thick weeds clasping their tendrils around our keel, drawing us down, down to Neptune's kingdom.
Captain,
maybe what we see is Neptune's harvest.
No,
that's not right. We're the harvest. Ships are the harvest. What does he do with all the ships down there?
Captain, you'd better come to your cabin and lie down.
My tongue's parched. But fair shares with what? Fair shares for all. Fair shares for the sick and for the healthy.
Oh, anyway.
If the healthy don't survive, who's to look after the sick? Who's to look after the ship?
Some strange chance, Rob Tatham was the only man aboard who had not succumbed to the fever. And although no one had actually died from the disease, he began to feel as if he were the only man alive. He tended to the captain and crew as best he could, but there was an unreality to his actions. It seemed as if he watched himself as he knelt by the sick and gave them the water they craved. And the true reality for him became two things. The ship becalmed, and the Sargasso Sea. That seemingly unending stretch of weeds which day by day took on a more menacing aspect, as if the strange sea plants were closing in, making ready to twine around the Melissa and crush her hull to splinters. And the only hope of escape was the wind, which never blew.
Water, Ben. I brought your water ration.
Oh, Rob, we've been waiting for you.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. There's only me left, you see. Everyone's thirsty.
Oh.
Here, drink it slowly. There's very little left.
Water. Thank you, Rob. What are you wanting, waiting for the water? We was waiting to tell you that I'm feeling much better. Much better. I think the worst is over. Fever's leaving me now.
I hope so, Ben. Oh, I hope so. But don't try and move around. Stay where you are.
Do you hear that?
Oh, I heard some sort of noise, yes.
Oh, it's going closer. Oh, I knew it was out there. I could feel it. I knew it's coming for us.
You may feel better, Ben, but the fever's still on you. Lie back and rest.
What do we know of the things under the sea? What do we know of them?
Neptune's kingdom. That's what the captain called it. 10 rooms drawing us down to Neptune's kingdom. What is there down in the deeps where no living man has been? What lives there? Walking its way through 1,000 wrecked ships.
You are beginning to feel it now, too, aren't you, Rob? You're beginning to sense it?
No, I am going to talk to you, Justice. I don't know what's real anymore and what isn't. Each day you runs into the next. There's no way of telling them apart.
Oh, yeah.
Voices calling for water, and the supply gets less and less. And the ship caught in the trap of the Sargasso. I don't think the wind ever blows here.
No.
Never has, or ever will. It's the trap of the Sargasso.
But who set the trap?
Oh, they're calling me. I must give out the rest of the water rations.
Water.
Here it is. Drink while you can.
Why, Simpson's axe. I kept it beside me hidden. But I knew the time would come when I'd need it, and the time is now.
Hey, come back from Mr. Quayle. You're too weak to be standing. You'll topple overboard.
But you heard it, didn't you? You must have heard it.
What is it? What's leaking in the door? Ben!
There she is. You see it? There she is.
So then Mr. Whitelaw toppled overboard with the axe in his hand while attempting to attack this, thing.
Yes. I couldn't help him. I could do nothing to help him. I stood there. I couldn't move. I think I screamed. I'm not sure. But I must have lost consciousness because the next thing I remember is coming to on the deck.
And Ben was gone.
Well, yes, Captain. I told you. He fell overboard.
Of course, Mr. Tatton. And when you regained consciousness, what then?
I took the water rations around. And I'm not sure whether it was the next day or the day after that the wind came up.
And you know the story after that, Mr. Anstruther. We drifted for a bit. And then as the fever abated, there were enough men sufficiently fit to sail the ship. Eventually I recovered. And we brought the Melissa home to port.
Is there anything else you want to ask me, Mr. Anstruther?
No, nothing else, Mr. Tatton. Thank you very much for telling us your story.
Then I think I'll be on my way.
Goodbye, Mr. Tatton.
Goodbye, Rob.
Goodbye, gentlemen.
Well, Mr. Anstruther.
I think there's a very simple explanation.
Oh?
I would say that Rob Tatton did not escape the fever. And his story is merely a part of his remembered delirium.
But Ben Whitelaw was missing from the ship's complement.
Well, that fact fits into the puzzle very neatly. The man, Simpson, had already run amok with the axe in his hand, which is no doubt why an axe figured in Rob Tatton's hallucination. And we know that Ben Whitelaw was depressed and fearful. It is more than likely that, being deranged with the fever, he jumped over the side. And Mr. Tatton, witnessing this while in a slightly deranged state himself, unwittingly wove the facts into this preposterous tale.
But both men heard and saw this horrifying sea monster. Surely they couldn't both suffer from the same delusion.
It was Tatum who told us they both saw it. But we only have his story, not Mr. Whitelaw's. You're surely not giving credence to a tale born of feverish delirium, Captain Cunningham. A gigantic sea monster rising through the weeds of the Sargasso.
I am not as skeptical as you, Mr. Anstruther. though I should like to believe that yours is the true explanation. After all, the sea is my livelihood.
I don't think you need fear coming across another monster of the same species, Captain. Mr. Catton's delirium was his own. And hallucination is a personal thing, I assure you. Simpson had an urge to chop people to bits because he thought he was being kept in prison. Mr. Tatum's derangement took a more exotic form.
When the fever first came upon me, I spoke of Neptune's kingdom. It's a vast kingdom, Mr. Anstruther. Most of it unexplored. There are depths which no man can reach. And we have no way of knowing what lurks in those depths.
I can see I haven't convinced you, Captain.
No. No, you haven't. Not quite. You see, if Rob didn't see a gigantic, horrifying sea monster, what caused his hair to turn snow white?
Well, did Rob Tatton really see what he came to have seen? Or was it, as Mr. Anstruther said, a fantasy born of a feverish delirium? Who can say? All we know is that when Rob regained consciousness on the deck, his hair had turned so white. And of course, Captain Cunningham spoke the truth when he said that Neptune's kingdom was vast and unexplored. It would be an arrogant man who would say categorically that there were no sea monsters lurking in the depths. I think the oceans of the world have many surprises still in store for us.
You've been listening to Tales from the Seven Seas, written by Annette McKenzie and Jack Mullen. Listen next week at the same time to another enthralling story of the sea, produced by Andre Botman.